And I've got the lovely Nick and the lovely Paul from OGK in with us this afternoon now to talk about the their coronavirus rivalry. I can't speak. Coronavirus strategy. So I'm going to kind of let you lead, really, because you know what you want to say. And so let's crack on. Who wants to start?
Well, afternoon. I mean, we're here hopefully to reassure people that there is good advice and information out there available for everyone. We'd like to promote the fact that we've both got websites for. So I'm Paul, I'm from Citizens Advice, Nick's from AGK Isle of Wight. You know, if you can get online, then go and look at our websites. You can just Google either of those titles and it will bring us up right at the top. And the same if you want information from the council as well, so iwhite.com. And we're working closely with them as a partner to make sure that all the information we can gets out there as quick as possible. I suspect everyone appreciates that the situation's changing so quickly. So
almost hourly, really.
It is, yeah. We had a plan on Monday and that changed rapidly into what happened on Tuesday. But, you know, we just want to reassure people that things are going on. We're doing our best and we are talking to the people that count to make sure that both all the charities and the sort of public bodies are working together. So that's the key thing, I think, is just reassurance that things are going on. Life isn't normal. We absolutely understand that. And Nick can probably give more information. But Citizens Advice will give advice just for all age groups.
Yeah, sure.
But obviously, Nick will give more information.
Are you receiving for the older people? Many calls at the moment?
Yeah, so certainly people coming in to see us face to face has gone down.
Yeah, sure.
And we appreciate that. And we would ask people actually if they can avoid coming to see us, both for their own safety and for our staff and volunteers,
sure,
as well, because we can't guarantee that the person we've just spoken to before wasn't carrying something that might get passed on. We just don't know. I mean, so at the moment, it feels like the island is almost sort of a week behind what's happening on the mainland as far as catching. But, you know, the more we can do to actually prevent that infection going across, then the better. But certainly our phone calls and our sort of web chats and emails, and you can go onto the I'll Help Me website as well, and you can leave a message on there and we'll give you a ring back. So there's plenty of ways that you can get in contact with us and not come and see us face to face.
What are some of the sort of the main queries that you're getting then?
So certainly at the moment there's lots of concern about jobs. So we can give people advice around you know, making sure if you have been made redundant that you're getting all the right deals, and then we can help people on how to claim universal credit.
Yeah, it must be quite difficult at the moment, because I know I watched the old Chancellor's speech yesterday afternoon, and he was coming up with all sorts of packages that might be available for people, but it must be really hard to keep up with that, because that's changing so rapidly. They're almost like making new legislation in hours rather than weeks, months and years, aren't they?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we're lucky being we're part of Citizens Advice nationally as well. So whilst we're our own local charity, then we're guaranteed that all the information and the sources are being kept up to date all the time for us. So we've got access to the completely up to date information. But you're right, you're someone always typing away.
Yeah. they were talking this morning on the news, I don't know if you saw it or not, about potentially helping to sort of guarantee people's incomes. And they were talking about the American model, where they're kind of like pumping money straight into people's bank accounts and stuff like that. But you never seem to be able to get a very clear picture of actually what's going to happen. You know, it's not innuendo actually, because they have been talking about this, but it's really difficult to get a clear picture. So hopefully, but
I think also every time we have an announcement, it answers some questions, but it actually raises just as many.
Yeah, that's true.
So one of the questions that actually Bob Seeley, our local MP, raised in the Commons last night with the Chancellor was, what support is there for charities? Because obviously we see potentially some of our income go down. For both of us, things like fundraising is really important, and I know as is for Vectors Radio.
Yeah, sure.
So we had a summer full of events lined up to encourage people to donate to the charity. Those probably can't go ahead. I'm pretty certain they won't. So we have put it to the government that actually the charity sector right across the country that is stepping up as well alongside the communities that they serve locally may well need financial support as well to keep doing what we do.
Well, indeed, and let's face it, you know, the government relies on charitable organisations, you know, a vast amount, really.
Absolutely.
To aid our folk in the community. So if they don't step up, then it'll be a little bit of a disservice, shall we say, wouldn't it?
I think the other thing I wanted to say is, obviously, we are encouraging people to go to our websites, but we're also very mindful that not everybody has internet access or is comfortable using it. So while it helps us immensely, if you can go online, please do, because obviously just like everyone else, we have staff who are not in work at the moment because either they're isolating or they've got a family member to look after, or they're within the categories of people who need to stay at home. Mm. But if you do need to call us, our phone lines are also open. So for older residents, you can call Age UK on 525 282.
Mm.
We are getting to the calls as quickly as we can. Please bear with us if the lines are busy.
Sure.
You should get through to answer phones. And as Paula said, we will phone you back as soon as we can. We are both, though, Monday to Friday services, so I'm afraid we're not going to be there over the weekend.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But, fair enough, yeah.
You know, we are looking to try and do everything we can to support people.
Yeah.
And actually, for a lot of people, they just want to talk. They want
that's
they
true.
Want some reassurance of what they're doing is the right thing and raising questions about how to carry on living their life with all these sort of restrictions placed upon them.
Yeah, which couldn't get more draconian as time goes on.
It could, and I think, you know, we're very mindful that if people don't comply with what's being asked of them, the government may have to take steps to enforce them.
Yeah.
So I know we've heard a lot of people saying, well, I think I'll still go out anyway.
Mm.
We'd urge people not to. This is being done for our own safety.
Yeah, sure.
And actually, if you're vulnerable to this virus, you've got to think about your risk and how you might also pass it on to others.
Well, I guess some forms of going out is okay. Yeah. I don't know if you want to talk about that now or at some point this afternoon.
Yeah.
But,
so the government have been clear that they would prefer anyone over 70 from the weekend to stay at home, self-isolate at home.
Mm.
You can go out, obviously, into your own garden or your own outdoor space. If you are seeing any other people, social distancing, so keeping 2 metres between you is advised.
Mm.
If you've got a pet, yes, you can still walk that pet. Again, they're encouraging you to do that on your own and to keep distance from other people.
Mm.
So a certain amount of exercise absolutely is really important for
our
health
yeah.
and well-being.
Mm.
But sensibly, you know, don't meet up with friends for a coffee.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's Mother's Day this Sunday. I know a lot of families would have been getting together for meals.
Don't do it.
Not advisable.
Yeah.
It really isn't. You wouldn't want to be the one who passed this virus on.
No, that's right. That's right. Well, I'm going to be cooking for my wife this Sunday. Something special. We might even order in something. And,
yeah.
Mind you, see, that's the other thing. It's such a complicated area because I just said that sort of in a flippant way. We might order in something. But then you get the boxes and they arrive and they could be contagious.
Yeah.
And it's the same with ordinary sort of food deliveries, really. I mean, they're saying that, aren't they, that the virus can live on packaging for 72 hours or whatever it is, you know. And it's how you deal with that, really, because
So again, sensible precautions, hand washing, hand sanitizer, antibacterial type either wipes or fluids. There are still supplies out there. There might not be in your usual supermarket, but I've certainly found some
but
today.
But I was saying things like, so when this food gets delivered and you've got your bag of pasta in your hand, which could be contaminated, are we saying, you know, decant that into another container, or are we saying wash the packaging?
Wipe the packaging down.
Yeah.
The BBC News last night was suggesting that you just wash things down with hot soap and water, you know, sort of antibacterial things.
It's such a different way of life,
isn't
it?
It's minimising the risk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I appreciate that, yeah.
Yeah, it's not what
it's kind of getting it into your head, you know, because you do things so automatically, don't you, really? You know, me, I cut open the pellet, I'll put it in the jar and I'll bung a bag away, and then before I wash my hands, I'll start touching my face, you know. And it's just so difficult to adopt what's almost an entirely new lifestyle.
Very much so. It's as a new norm for all of us. I'm sure my children are fed up of hearing me say, wash your hands.
Yeah. Well, I was saying to you earlier, the only trouble with all that is it doesn't have to play havoc with the skin, you know. I'm not a sensitive skin person normally, but I'll tell you what, mine are feeling dry as anything.
I'm sure sales of hand cream are shooting through the roof.
Talk to us a bit about who should self-isolate, because the information is changing pretty rapidly with that as well, isn't
it? It is, and we would absolutely encourage people to keep up to date with the latest updates, either on the government websites. Please, please use trusted sources of information, because there is a lot of rumour out there. Obviously, the NHS website's the government website. People like BBC News, because obviously they're getting all their data from the government.
Even if you don't like the government.
Even if
it's
you don't
good
like
advice.
The government. So obviously, from this weekend, if you are age 70 or over, regardless of medical conditions, you are being asked to self-isolate. If you're under 70, it's based on underlying health conditions, particularly if you have chronic respiratory disease such as asthma, COPD, emphysema or bronchitis, chronic heart disease such as heart failure, chronic kidney disease, if you've got chronic liver disease such as hepatitis, then other neurological conditions such as Parkinson's, motor neurone, MS, or other cerebral palsy or learning disabilities that might make you more vulnerable. Diabetes is on the list. If you've got any problems with your spleen, for example, sickle cell disease, and in any other examples where you've got a weakened immune system. So if you've got conditions such as HIV or are on steroids or having chemotherapy treatment at the moment, again, you would normally be needing to protect yourself from catching germs in those conditions. So this is really important. The other one, two that have been added. One is if you are seriously overweight and if your BMI is 40 or over.
Okay.
And also, obviously, those ladies who are pregnant currently are being advised to stay at home. So all sensible precautions to take those, you know, lower the risk, basically, for people.
That first list almost sounds, I'm not wrong in sense, but it almost sounds like anybody who's, like, eligible for the flu jab.
Yes, I think that's actually not a bad yardstick for it, in a way, to say if you're eligible for the flu jab, have a look at that list. You probably do
you're
fit
probably
that criteria.
On it, aren't you? Yeah.
And actually, the other thing is, if you really, really are unsure, I know the GPs are very busy at the moment, so please use sparingly, but do seek advice.
Mm. Yeah, fair enough. Okay. And one of the issues we were talking about in the break is whether or not people should let their carers in.
Yes. Now, I mean,
I can understand the dilemma here quite easily.
You kind of feel like there's mixed messages, don't you?
Yeah.
So it's everyone's being told to self-isolate, but if you're somebody who regularly has carers who come in and help you with personal care and around the home, and you wouldn't be able to manage without them, then of course you still need that help.
Yeah.
So if that care will be provided by an agency, either through social services or one of the private dom care agencies on the island.
Can you assume they're taking all the correct precautions?
They are taking all the precautions as advised, and probably more, because they take their duty of care very, very seriously. But again, if you are unsure, ask.
Yeah.
You know, nobody will mind you challenging them and saying, well, what hygiene precautions are you taking? What are you doing to ensure my safety and yours, for example?
Yeah.
It's really important to feel reassured, because at the moment, fear is actually our biggest concern for many of us, rather than the virus itself.
And
if we can allay our fears, we'll all feel just that little bit better about it all.
Well, I think it's a strange situation, because you know, a couple of weeks ago, I think we were all a bit blasé about it, you know. It just sounds like a bit less than flu, actually. But as the kind of story emerges, you suddenly sort of start to think, because I mean, to be fair, a lot of the publicity around it at the time was pretty sort of downplayed.
I think the thing to remind people though is that for the vast majority of people, it is going to be quite mild. It is going to be potentially a bad case.
So really what we're talking about is kind of social responsibility here in terms
Absolutely.
Of not actually
infecting
those that are at risk
from the flu every winter are the more vulnerable who are at risk from this.
Yeah, sure.
So if you take measures each winter to protect yourself from the flu, you're doing the same from this virus.
Yeah. Paul, you can tell us a bit about what sort of services were available for folk.
Yeah, thank you. So, I mean, we've got amazing volunteers throughout all the charities on the island, but many of whom, unfortunately, fall into the group that Nick has just read out. So they're going to be older, or they may well be living with some sort of long-term condition. So we've certainly got less volunteers available. I'm sure it's the same for Nick. And we know Hannah at the food bank as well relies on older volunteers to keep the food banks going. So the conversation has really sort of started over the last few days about actually how can we entice new people in. Lots and lots of people out in the community now saying, how can they help? And we're just coming up with ways about actually to say, well, this is how you can contact us and let us know that you've got some free time, and we will try and push you in the right direction. So there is a Facebook page, although we've not been quite able to track it down at the moment, but we know that the ladies and the people that have been running that have, even in a couple of days, had well over 100 new people come forward. So there's an amazing amount of community spirit out there. So we're working with Community Action to actually come up with a way where people can say, I've got time that I'd like to donate. What can we do? So it's a kind of watch this space thing at the moment. But again, you've got our details about our organisations. If you feel desperately that you want to get involved really quickly, then give us a call, and we will then point you in the right direction.
Shopping, dog walking, all that.
I think there'll be, yeah, I think there's some stuff where it's more of a central service. So for us at Citizens Advice, certainly we would welcome more people that could come and answer the phone for us, for instance, we can give quite simple training and stuff, so that you can get up to a point where you can point people in the right direction. Certainly for Age UK and some of the other organisations, there might be stuff about going into people's homes, and I know Nick in a minute will talk a little bit about just, you know, you want to make sure you're letting the right people into your
home. I was just going to make that point, actually, because I am a little bit of a cynic at times, and this, with the best word, I know there's a huge amount of good work going on out there, but it's also an ideal opportunity for those who like to take advantage of others.
Yeah.
So how do you invite us to sort of stay safe on that level?
All our organisations work with volunteers and always have done. So you, as I'm sure you would imagine, we have quite robust procedures in place to make sure that people who come forward are properly vetted and their intentions are good.
Yeah.
And the vast, vast majority of those are. However, in this current climate, we want to make sure, and we're working to try and offer a consistent approach, that people who come forward and offer their help, we can vouch for them. And we can make sure that anybody we're sending out as a volunteer to support anybody in the community is only going to do good. So that's the first thing to say. We're working with the Isle of Wight Council Trading Standards team, IWASP, who do a fantastic job. Already they've put out today, there are scams going around offering people click here for a cure, click here for tax refunds. Those things are not real. Do not open them. Do not get involved in them.
Yeah.
If in doubt about anything you've received, ask for support or don't
and
answer
there's
it.
A lot of misinformation about that. I was talking to Paul earlier on, and I saw one on Facebook where it was something like, the virus stays in your throat for 4 days before it enters your lung, and if you gargle salt water, it will cure you.
Yeah.
You know, and for some people, it might be really hard to spot.
Mm.
So I guess the advice we're given is ignore everything you see on social media and just rely on the government advice.
The reliable sources of information.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously our social media is reliable.
Of course, I apologise profusely.
But, ask yourself who's posted this and why would they be telling me this. If you don't recognise the name, if you don't know who they are, probably don't trust what they're telling you. And if only these people put the amount of effort into doing good, it would make a huge difference.
Sure, yeah.
But we are, we've also had a lot of people come forward to volunteer. We're working our way through those applications and we will absolutely take up those offers. We, as of today, have an online application form which will help us sift through and make sure that we're asking people to do the right things.
Yeah.
So for us, it could be phoning older people just to keep in touch and have a
chat. That's important, isn't it? Yeah.
Really important. Social isolation in this context is actually more of a threat in many ways than some other things.
Sure.
Also, things like shopping, collecting prescriptions for people are going to be really important. And then just helping with the variety of things that we probably haven't even thought of yet.
Yeah.
That will come up for people.
Because we just don't know. It is really, it is really truly unknown territory, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about Paul, but every day I'm getting asked questions that I'm having to think really hard about the answers for. They're things I've not had to think about before.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to know there's a lot of goodwill out there and,
So one thing we think we might be starting to do is all the charities obviously have lists of people that we would help in normal circumstances anyway. We're thinking about making some phone calls to certainly older residents and just saying, you know, have you already got support around you? If you have, that's great. We'll back off. But that's a strange way for us to contact because normally we wait for people to call us. So whilst we are talking about scams, you may get a call that says, oh, this is someone from Citizens Advice, this is someone from Age UK. If you're not sure about it, just say, you know, can I just phone back the number and just check it is
but
coming
don't,
from
don't
you.
Don't use the number they give you.
No, exactly. Use the number that you're used to. So it's a strange way. So not only us, you know, it might be people from Adult Social Care doing the same thing, people from People Matter, so lots and lots of charities on the island. We've just been saying, is this as a way to do it? Because we obviously want to be very careful about the information we hold on people.
Sure.
For about, you know, making sure we're not breaching data security and things like that. So rather than share the information, say, you know, we'll make a call. And they might say, are you okay if we share this information with our other partners, both in the charity sector and with the council? And then we know we can create a list. And we can be saying, you know, we spoke to Mrs. Smith in Cowes, she's absolutely fine, but actually she'd quite like a call in 2 weeks' time. and then we can do that, and then just start setting up some tasks. Because as things like the leisure centres close down, and other services where people do gather, not that the council's inundated with stuff, but that they're going to have some more people they can actually point to doing those sort of calls and stuff for us. So it's that way of, you know, avoiding that sort of loneliness and the social isolation, to actually say, you know, we'll make sure that we give you another call, because the last thing you want to do is then find out that someone was just left.
Yeah,
and for a reason, didn't have food or didn't have the services they required for the sake of a phone call. So we're kind of thinking we will turn around our normal sort of confidentiality stuff and give people a ring up front and say, you know, do you need it? If they say they're fine, then that's great, and we won't bother them anymore. Yeah. Then we can ask some questions around, have you got family and friends? Have you got food in for the next 4 days or so? Is your medication coming all right from you?
Yeah.
From your GP? That might be happening. So that might be something new that people think, oh, that was a bit weird. They said not to answer those strangers.
Yeah.
And then we're doing it. But we couldn't think of another way of overcoming that, really. Sure. Okay. Especially as we've got to keep distance away from people. Phone is our main thing.
Okay. Well, we're coming to another break. Time fly. We're going to talk about things people might do when they're in an isolation to keep them occupied. Is that right? Preparing for self-isolation and maybe some of the ideas for what people can do to occupy themselves.
Yeah, well, obviously there's very practical things, so the obvious, and I'm stating the obvious here, but making sure that you've got enough food, but not panic buying. There is food, people will get food to you, so please get what you need for a week or so ahead, but you shouldn't need to stock up too much on things. Things like cleaning products, making sure you can still, you know, wipe your surfaces down and things like that. You can buy those still. A lot of the local shops have got those. Don't worry so much. Money, that is the big worry that we've been hearing about. How am I going to pay my bills? Because a lot of our older residents still like to go into the bank or do things face to face. You're going to have to rethink that. So if you need to speak to your bank, have a chat with them, whether you've got a checkbook, whether you can set up direct debits. If you're online banking, maybe now is the time to make that move and think about that. The banks are very keen to help you. I've just had an email myself from one of the banks, for example, advising me of things. I think they are trying to make contact. So that's important. And then you're not going to worry about paying your bills.
Sure.
Obviously, your medication, if you're on repeat prescriptions, get them in a timely fashion. But those services will all still be working. If you've got queries,
some surgeries can you order online with
some
surgeries
online
now?
And others you drop off there. Again, if in doubt, seek advice on how to do that. But please don't overwhelm the surgeries. They are all working really hard and doing their best.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
On the plus side, then your commitments. If you have somebody that you care for that you're concerned about, again, you can ring organisations like ourselves and talk through what your options are. There are plenty of volunteers looking to walk dogs and things if that's something you want to continue doing yourself. And then taking care of other things, letting people know if you're not going to be attending things that they were expecting, like hospital appointments. Sure. A lot of those will be cancelled. They will contact you to let you know that. Yeah. On the more positive side, think about how you're going to keep in touch with people. So if you attend regular groups or coffee mornings or you're part of a club, don't forget those people. Hopefully you've got phone numbers and contact details. Think about having a regular catch-up. If you normally meet on a Wednesday afternoon, well, maybe you make some phone calls at that time of the week, because other people will be sitting there longing to speak to you just as you might be. So I think keeping that routine is really important, but just maybe doing it slightly differently. We also are really keen to remind people we do still need some exercise. So what could you do at home if you've got an outdoor space and the sun's out? Let's hope. Get out there and get those steps up.
Yeah.
Obviously, our colleagues at Mountbatten are still encouraging us to do a virtual Walk the White. So you might want to get involved.
That's a great idea,
Which actually means a lot of people who couldn't normally trek across the Downs can actually participate this year.
Yeah.
Then entertainment. I'm personally thinking, where are all the books that I've been meaning to read for years? Or, you know, maybe there's a TV show you'd like to catch up
on. Can I give a shout for Borrow Box here?
Yes, absolutely.
Fantastic, fantastic piece of kit. If you're not familiar, it's a sort of an electronic lending service from the library. And it's got to be set up, so I guess you'd need somebody to go in and get your PIN number to get it set up for you. But I mean, I just use it all the time. It's a godsend. So
the libraries are still open at the moment, so if you want to go and stock up. And things like podcasts, and catching up on radio and TV. That could be really good. And then have a think about how you're going to relax. It is really important. This is a time where we're all a little bit anxious more than normal. So what can you do to help you relax now, whether that's anything from maybe you've got an artistic hobby, maybe you do a bit of painting or drawing, maybe just listening to your favourite music, something that takes you away from all of this and gives you a few calm moments every day is really, really important.
I was talking to Joe in the previous hour, and we were saying that you can almost look upon this as a bit of an opportunity. I mean, it's not an opportunity you would choose to sort of take in this particular environment, but it's there. You're going to have time, and you could use an opportunity to learn something new. I mean,
and if you can get out in the garden, you know, maybe what could you grow? Because you'll be eating your own fruit and veg in the summer months, which could be lovely. And we're trying to put some things out on our social media that you can do. I've come across some lovely things in the last few days, like virtual art gallery tours, online choirs where you can join hundreds of people from around the world and have a sing-song. So you might discover a few new things that you'll be really pleased you did.
That's right, yeah. Well, if you're a Facebook user, there are quite a few people out there now doing sort of Facebook Live things. I mean, I saw one this morning, and a lady's going to do a Facebook Live art club at whatever time it was on whatever day it was. You know, if you join in, then you can kind of do an online art club with her, which I thought was a really nice idea.
And obviously, if you have got something like access to an iPad and you can FaceTime people, then it's not just a phone call. You know, you can actually see another human being.
No, that's absolutely right.
And have a chat, and also check in on people like that. You know, if you're checking in on older parents, for example, you can satisfy yourself, see how they're looking, and be happy that they are still healthy.
Yeah.
Especially if we do move into a situation, sorry about the squeaky chair, if we think children might be away from school in the coming weeks, then absolutely this is a great time to get FaceTime or other ways of talking to people online, you know, and get your grandchildren to entertain you with a show or something at the other end. Or there's all sorts of ways that that being on a screen can suddenly be very creative there's lots of stuff out there, and saying it's not just older people. We've had younger groups. I'm involved with Scouts lots. We've had to cancel our Scout meetings right across the UK. That decision was made on Monday. So there are lots of young people out there twiddling their thumbs as well.
I think pretty much everything is going to get cancelled. You were saying earlier that Glastonbury's been cancelled now. Many more will follow, no doubt about that. Yeah. So.
And actually, even if you're not online, there is nothing to stop you ringing a doorbell. And as long as you've got the distance between you, where my parents live, they can open their kitchen window. We've already planned it that I shall stand in their front garden and talk to them through the window if need be. So just be a bit creative.
Yeah,
as long as
that's
keeping that distance and you're not, you know, touching door handles and things and leaving germs around, then you can still talk to each other. You know, we're not shut away.
No, that's an important message, isn't it, really? You don't have to be... isolation doesn't mean desolation kind of thing. That's brilliant.
That's a good phrase.
Yeah. OK, well, look, thanks ever so much for coming in. It's been really, really helpful. We'll come out the other side and we'll be fine. And, it's...
And I think
it's a long haul, but we'll get there.
On behalf of the charity sector, thank you for all the support people are offering us. We are working together in this. I think one thing we would like to say is do remember the food bank. Donations are down because we're all stocking up for ourselves. If you can put even a tin of something for them, that will be much appreciated because there are people still needing it, their help very much.
Sure. Brilliant. Thanks so much. Thank you. We've come to the end of the show. So thanks for coming in again. Thanks for listening. And...